Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. If you want to advertise with us, you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any inquiries there. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls also. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, Jimmy didn't really leave much to the imagination when he was talking about this last week, did he?
He did not. Jimmy Butler, of course, had been basically bedridden for 4 or 5 days, returned on this Saturday, what do we call it, matinee, 4 p.m. start at the United Center.
It's like a matinee is like a noon game. I don't think there's like an official definition of it, but like it was a 4 p.m. tip.
Yeah, for the burgeoning audiences in Europe and China, I believe the NBA did this. And the Bulls won 107-99, led by Jimmy Butler's 28 points, hot from the start. And after the game, he said the last 4 or 5 days were hell, is the word he used. And burgeoning reporter Vinny Goodwill, who's probably still out there writing right now as we record, who
knows if Vinny, that's our boy,
even hear this, but he followed up and asking for more details about what the worst part was for Dwayne Wade, and it was the part where his stomach was upset and coming out both directions, basically.
Yeah, he said
in the past week.
Yeah, Jimmy said it was the diarrhea, and then he said, "Hey, you guys asked, I told you." And then Vinny actually like asked him another question later. They were like, "So, Jimmy, I know you were dealing with some diarrhea, but then like I forget what the rest of the question was."
But it was just an off the rails media session on what otherwise was Jimmy, pretty straightforward.
It went
day.
Pretty off the rails even besides that. Like after he told us the diarrhea thing, Jimmy was just like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna just ask myself some questions because you guys aren't talking. So, how about Dwayne Wade? Man, Dwayne Wade was awesome." Like he just quick went into this whole thing. Jimmy was in a good mood tonight.
He was in a great mood because he hadn't been on the basketball court too much lately, and I mean, Jimmy's a guy that, I mean, basketball is life for him. Everyone says that, but Jimmy Butler's a guy who...
He's a total gym rat.
Yes, he
very much wants you to know that he's a total gym rat, but he legitimately is a total gym rat.
Yeah, he goes back to the Advocate Center most nights, according to Dwayne Wade and several teammates, and there's no reason to think he doesn't, because that is how his rise has been fueled, his ascension to this next level in the NBA. And Dwayne Wade also scored 22 points in this game, so the Bulls had their two-man game going there with their stars. It was Jimmy Butler early, Dwayne Wade late with 17 of his 22 points in the fourth quarter. He shot 2 of 13 in the first three quarters, and Dwayne Wade is not shy. He just kept shooting, and he was 7 of 11 in the fourth quarter in getting those 17 points. But this is what the Bulls planned. This is what they hoped for when they signed Dwayne Wade. They envisioned the Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, two guys helping close out games, score a lot of points when they combine for 50 points on a night like this. But back to Jimmy real quick. Like, this is a guy who, like I said, basketball is life in that sense. So those days were tough for him not to be around the team. And Friday, the Bulls did not have a planned practice. They were supposed to have a walkthrough, watch a little film coming off the loss in New York the night before. But they had an impromptu scrimmage session, which was partially Jimmy Butler's idea, partially Fred Hoiberg's idea. The purpose being, get Jimmy Butler back on the basketball court, get his wind back, and he looked really good in this game, logged over 39 minutes. Like that practice session, that scrimmage on Friday, that I think that worked, Sean, because like Jimmy had no rust on this night.
Yeah, he looked fantastic, and this game just goes to show just how much the Bulls miss Jimmy when he's not out there. This has been updated. I've been tracking this kind of throughout the season. A few other Bulls writers have been tracking this too. Shout out to Jay Pat at FanRag, buddy of ours. But when Jimmy Butler is on the floor this season, the Bulls' net rating, which is points scored versus points allowed per 100 possessions, is +3, which is pretty good. When he is not on the court, it is -10.9. So the Bulls are 10.9 points scored versus allowed worse per 100 possessions when he is
And that number represents a really bad team.
That team is not good.
That's a number that really bad teams would put up. With Jimmy on the court, they're slightly above average in the NBA is the best way to put it. And without him, they're pretty darn bad. So that's representing the difference. And I think we looked into that early in the year. Like, he's up there with the likes of basically James Harden and Russell Westbrook, if I remembered when we looked, like, what, 4 weeks into the season, maybe something like that?
Yeah, and Tom Haberstroh had a piece on ESPN recently just talking about how Jimmy Butler is maybe an underrated MVP candidate just because of how much he means to the Bulls and, you know, what they are without him. And by the way, I just looked this up right now. The worst team in the league in terms of net rating is the Brooklyn Nets at -8 points scored versus allowed per 100 possessions. So the Bulls are significantly worse than the worst team in the league when Jimmy Butler isn't on the court.
What's the highest there? The Warriors, I'm assuming. What's
their obviously, mark? Yeah, 11.6. Yeah, plus 11.6. Warriors, Spurs, Raptors, Rockets, Clippers is the top five. It's about what you'd expect.
Yeah, and look, like Fred Hoiberg, I mean, he got like almost philosophical for a moment in the post-game presser, just like saying you don't realize what you have in a great player until they're out a couple games. And, like, basically saying, to paraphrase Fred, like, the true measured value of a player is how much you miss them when they're gone, which is actually one of the angles that people vote for MVP votes on. You know what I mean? There's a lot of discussion, like, is it most outstanding player? Is it best player on the best team? Or is it the player, if you took them off the team, they would be so awful? And, like, Jimmy Butler is not a top five MVP candidate right now, probably. Right. But he, take him away and they are awful. Like, that is a big part.
And by the way, this is exactly why the Bulls are not going to trade Jimmy Butler anytime soon, because this is, I mean, we know what this organization is. Like, we know that they don't like to tank and not be competitive. And this is what the Bulls are if they don't have Jimmy Butler. And he, like you said, he's not going to win MVP because the team isn't good enough. And what James Harden and Russell Westbrook are doing is just ridiculous. And, you know, he's not going to compete with that. But in terms of his impact and what he means to the team with what they are with him versus what they, you know, with Jimmy Butler, the Bulls are an average, you know, they're around a 500 team. They're, you know, treading water. They're kind of in that mix for one of those back playoff seeds in the East. Without him, they're worse in terms of net rating than the worst team in the league.
Yeah, and you can make, I think, like, this, the Bulls, obviously, their goal is to make the playoffs. Yeah. And when the final buzzer sounded, they improved to 20-21. I believe they were half game out at the final buzzer. Yeah. We'll have to see how everything else plays out tonight. But that's a 40-42 win pace, which I'm not going to remind everyone, but I will remind everyone that that's what I predicted before the season.
It is what you
predicted. So right on point there. But it's a good goal, I think, like for Jimmy Butler to drag the Bulls into the playoffs, because that would say a whole lot about him. I mean, we know he loves to win. Everyone that plays in the NBA loves to win. But it is a mark, I think, of a superstar. And really, if you think about it, if you want to be called a superstar, you should be able to be drafted by any team and put any halfway decent, even bad, just capable, competent basketball players in some regard around you. And if you're a superstar, you probably should drag them to the playoffs, should you not?
Well,
so if Jimmy Butler can do that, that would be a lot of credit toward his superstar status.
Well, this is kind of what we, you know, what people always talk about with a guy like LeBron, where you take LeBron, you put LeBron on last year's Sixers, one of the worst teams in NBA history. You take LeBron, put him on that team, they'd probably be at least 500 just because he is that good and that impactful.
Yeah, they'd be cool. That's a really good discussion because they were awful and so young, and they didn't have Joel Embiid last year, obviously. But LeBron, 500 on the Sixers, that would probably be a biggest testament to his career than beating the 73 Warriors.
But like that team, like maybe, I mean, so the Bulls this year aren't as bad with, you know, besides Jimmy, aren't as bad as last year's Sixers, because last year's Sixers were like historically bad. But they're one of the worst teams in the league. You compare their roster to like Brooklyn or Miami or any of these other teams who are kind of in the bottom of the standings this year. Outside of so they've got Jimmy Butler, who we've talked about. We've got Dwayne Wade, who is really good on some nights like tonight, and then other nights he's either sitting out or doesn't have it. And then, you know, a couple of good veterans, Taj Gibson, Robin Lopez. And beyond that, I mean, with Rondo being kind of having this reduced role in the rotation, it's just all these young guys who are totally unproven. It's a pretty bleak roster.
Do you think Jimmy will carry him to the playoffs?
Yes. I've kept saying I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be the seventh or the eighth seed. It's going to be, you know, they're going to win just enough games to get them in.
Yeah,
they're going to get blown out by the Cavs or the Raptors in the first round.
You and I's prediction, I mean, it was only a couple games off, and I think that would be a really fascinating late season storyline and just arc of Jimmy's career to see what he does, the responsibility and burden he would put on himself to win these games down the stretch of the season when they're battling spot for spot with other teams for the 7 or 8 seed, whatever it may be at that point in time. But you got to remember, too, like, Jimmy's doing it in every manner in this regard. He had 8 rebounds tonight, 6 assists, 4 steals, 2 block shots, and he's doing this pretty much every night. 6.5 rebounds a game this year, 6.7 actually, 4.6 assists. So he's affecting the game in so many ways. And I feel like we've done this podcast like 7 times in the last 2 months. Like Jimmy
right.
Butler was brilliant, but that's largely what is becoming.
I want to just say something else quickly about this game. I didn't feel like Anthony Davis was that good in this game. Like he wasn't one of those games where you just look at it and say, "Oh my gosh, Anthony Davis is dominating. He's just taking over."
Several easy bunnies.
Right. Early. But so this is his line tonight: 36 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks. And it didn't even feel like a very good Anthony Davis game, and he finished with those numbers.
He makes it look so easy, and it's sad the Pelicans can't put a better roster around him because 14 of 23 from the field, he's such an efficient basketball player, and we made the comment sitting next to each other watching the game early. We saw him score, I think, the first bucket of the game on Robin Lopez, and then
he
got a good look at a jumper, missed it, I think, on the second possession. Kind of looked at each other and like, there's no way Robin Lopez can guard this guy.
We've talked about, well, obviously Anthony Davis is one of the most unguardable players in the league, especially for a big man. But, you know, we've talked before about Robin struggling to guard some types of big men who can get out of the perimeter. Anthony Davis maybe doesn't have really great three-point range at this point, but he can step out and hit a mid-range jumper, and that's something that Robin always has trouble with. You know who looked good on the Pelicans?
Who?
Etuan Moore. Bulls legend. Very nice 6 of 9 a shooting performance from the field, 16 points, 4 of 5 from 3 in his revenge game. And I feel, Bulls could kind of use a guy like Etuan Moore.
Well, he signed for, what, $8 or $9 million per, I think?
Yeah.
And the Bulls spent $14 million on Rajon Rondo.
I think the reason they didn't do that, they didn't go up to what the Pelicans offered him, is because they didn't want to go 4 years. But honestly, with the new salary cap, a 4-year deal for Etuan Moore, who's a good, useful NBA rotation player, it's a deal that if they wanted to get out of it in the future to have more flexibility, they could move it. Like I don't want to like re-legislate their offseason, but I think not re-signing Etuan Moore was a mistake. And I
it
thought
would
that the
have
whole time.
Been a better idea to re-sign Etuan Moore than Rajon Rondo. I don't think at the time I viewed it as a big deal letting Etuan Moore go, but he is a guy that was much more in his prime than Rondo, and he's shooting, I think, almost 38% on threes this year for the Pelicans. And the thing, again, about the Bulls is you don't get consistency out of these guys. You look at the roster, and I think you know what you're going to get with a rested Dwayne Wade. He'll usually give you those 18, 20 points. You know what you're going to get out of Taj Gibson, and he was spectacular tonight with 15 points, season-high 16 rebounds, so Taj deserves some credit in that regard for playing very well in this win against New Orleans. But you don't know what you're going to get every night from Doug. You don't know what you're going to get from Nico. You don't know what you're going to get from Michael Carter-Williams. Rondo's been hit and miss this year. More miss than hit, obviously.
Bobby Portis. Cristiano Felicio, not really hit and miss. He's been solid. He was great tonight.
You play him, and he admitted after the game that he'll make a few mistakes in just defensive rotations and stuff, but it's like you stick him out there for 15 minutes. Like, at this point, you're expecting 6.6 rebounds. You're expecting 8 points, 5 rebounds. You're expecting him to play good pick-and-roll defense, which he's done for the most part. And the thing is, the important part about Felicio is he can switch on a pick-and-roll or hedge or show and still recover to his man in a way that doesn't put the rest of the defense at risk. He can recover quickly enough to slow the guy with the ball, get back to his man, and only need minimal help defense from the side. And that's the thing, like, when 3 guys got to compensate for you because you can't run back to your guy that you're trying to guard in the pick and roll, that means someone else is open. And that's what Felicio is doing so well. But back to the Etuan Moore point, and I guess this kind of ties in the same idea of Felicio being more consistent for the Bulls. I think you do know usually what you would get out of Etuan Moore the past couple seasons for the Bulls, because he always brought it defensively, and he generally made open three-pointers. You don't put the ball in his hands to make plays. So, again, that's a little bit of revisionist history, probably to talk about what they should have offered him or whatever, but he's been fine for the Pelicans, and if he'd signed with the Bulls, he probably would have been a little more consistent and helpful for them. This was a game in which Doug McDermott, once again, didn't shoot too well, 3 of 9 for the field, 8 points. I'm trying to think. I think he's now 7 of 31 in his last 4 games, and it was ugly to see Paul Zipser play above him on Thursday night, or down the stretch, close for him Thursday night. And once again, on this night, he didn't close for the Bulls. What do you make of this situation?
I mean, yeah, Doug is in a little bit of a slump. And I mean, I think it's a little bit concerning that this is, you know, he's had nights where he's looked very good, but then, you know, he still has these stretches where he's in this shooting slump and he just doesn't seem like he's going to get out of it. I mean, this is year 3 for him. You'd think at some point, especially with how much, you know, how much more, you know, Fred Hoiberg is looking to run plays for him than maybe Tibbs was in his rookie year. You know, maybe he'd be more consistent, but he hasn't been. And by the way, I don't
know what you can do besides continue playing.
What I'm really going to be interested to see is what the rotation looks like tomorrow, because remember, Dwayne Wade's back-to-back. He's not even going to travel with him to Memphis. Nico Mirotic, Fred has already said, is still sick and is not going to travel with him tomorrow to Memphis either. Are we going to get Paul Zipser starting part two?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of Zipser going from starting against the Knicks to DNP tonight to back to starting. Fred did say he liked the way Zipser played.
Well, it makes more sense to just start Doug McDermott, I think, but Fred likes Doug with Rajon Rondo on that second unit. But doesn't the Zipser start just feel like an outlier, a one-off instance in which Hoiberg, I don't know, wanted to light a fire? I didn't even really get the reasoning from him, because the size thing is not true.
Well, no, but like, because Doug's not a small person either. Doug,
no,
Doug,
he's,
Doug and Doug
he's
and
like 6 foot eight.
Doug and Zipser are the same size. I think, you know, one theory that I kind of subscribe to is that maybe he did it because if you're having Rondo come off the bench on the second unit, you want to keep shooters around Rondo.
Yeah.
With Nico out, then Doug was basically the only shooter that they had, so you had to have him come in with Rondo, and you saw him do that again tonight. Obviously, Butler was back, but they came in at the same time in the first quarter, and I just... But, yeah, the Zipser thing was so weird. Like, apparently, when he told Zipser he was starting, Zipser looked at him and said, "Coach, I'll be ready." That's the way Fred told the story.
Quite the setup, like an early scene in a movie or something, like some legendary sports movie or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. But Rondo once again came off the bench. He and McDermott came in as the first subs.
He hit 2 threes, which is hilarious. Quote.
Yes, and he had 5 assists. He had 6 points. He looked like he had a lot of pep in his step, didn't he? He threw a couple darts to Chris Felicio.
Those pickup games,
buckets.
Keeping him fresh.
Hey, middle school competition, you know, he's probably dominating over there on the west side of Chicago. But it seems like maybe the Bulls are just going to roll with Rondo in the second unit, because Jaren Grant didn't play in this game.
Yeah.
DNP, coach's decision, and he's a guy that started on a couple occasions this year and had a bigger role, obviously, when Rondo was benched. But does it feel like they might have found a, I don't know if common ground's the right word, but just a functional idea of still playing Rondo, but not having him so mad that he wants to be bought out or something?
Yeah, you know, obviously if we had had this conversation a week ago, and this is a conversation we've had a few times on this particular program, we thought that, you know, if... You know, by March 1st, which is the deadline for guys to get bought out and still be eligible to be on playoff rosters, that Rajon Rondo would not be on the Bulls roster. And this was especially after, you know, his pregame comments in that Wizards game, where he basically just threw the entire organization and coaching staff under the bus for the way that they've handled this stuff. But, you know, for right now, it seems like they're just kind of okay with him coming off the bench. I think, obviously, a guy like Rondo, who's a veteran, who's been in the league for as long as he has, would prefer to be a starter. He hasn't come off the bench. This year is his first time coming off the bench since his rookie year. He's literally started every game that he's played in since his second year in the league up until last season, or really up until the beginning, or like the end of 2016 calendar year. But... You know, I think he's probably okay with this. And again, he's not going to be mad about it, at least publicly, because as we've talked about, if he flames out and like leaves another team on bad terms, he might not get another NBA job. So I think now, if I had to guess, I think he is going to stay on the Bulls roster for the rest of the year and probably stay in this bench role with Michael Carter-Williams starting, because MCW is a guy that they traded for, want to take a look at. They like what he does at times. He was awful against the Knicks. He was pretty good tonight, I thought.
Yeah, he had 11 points, 5 of 12 shooting, and only one really ugly perimeter shot tonight from Michael Carter-Williams. But he was active defensively, too. I think he did his job for the most part. Jrue Holiday only had 1 point for the Pelicans, and Carter-Williams played somewhat of a role in that. Tyreek Evans played a little more down the stretch, only shot 6 of 15, though. So Michael Carter-Williams, in that sense, definitely did his job on this night. But back to that point real quick, you're pivoting, because we've been saying we didn't see Rondo finishing the year on the Bulls roster, but these past few games then have us thinking that he might, because I'm still thinking a lot can happen, and I would bet he's not on the roster at the end of the year.
Right, the other thing to think about, a lot can happen either way. The only reason that he's gotten back in the rotation is because half the team got sick before the game against Washington, and Fred basically had no bodies. I'll bet if Jimmy and Nico were healthy for that game, they would not have, Rondo maybe doesn't get back in the rotation, and this is kind of still going on, but then he comes back, he looks okay, he stays in the next couple of games, he still looks okay, and, as long as, maybe he has another minus 20 first half and they take him out again, but at that point, if you take him out of the rotation again, you gotta just buy him out, like, then and not wait until the trade deadline.
Yeah, but again, the thing with the buyout, though, you're saying, like, straight waive him, too. Because, like, to be clear with all the listeners, technically a buyout is when the player gives up a little bit of money and you buy him out and they line up a second team to give him some more of that money that they gave up. You can straight waive him anytime you want, but that's just admitting your own fault and having no financial reprieve at all.
Well, he's not going to give him any money back.
Well, if he had a second team lined up, but I don't see that. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, there's an instance, like Joe Johnson gave up some money for the Nets so he could go play in the playoff run for the Heat.
Right.
Like, hypothetically, Rondo could do that too, give up a little bit of money. I think Joe Johnson gave up $3 million because he wanted to chase rings with the Heat and play postseason games. But I just don't see that second team sitting there for Rondo. You know what I mean?
Right, I don't think so either. So that should just about cover it for tonight.
As Sean said, Dwayne Wade will be resting Sunday night at Memphis, a late 8 p.m. start for the Grizzlies and Bulls. Nico Mirotic will remain in Chicago as he deals with the illness that had Jimmy Butler saying he felt like hell. Nico kind of has the same thing, so maybe Tuesday for Nico back at the United Center, but the Bulls will face the Grizzlies, a tough game for them, no doubt, but Chicago's reached the halfway point at 20-21, sitting at the 9th spot in the East, and Jimmy Butler still carrying them onward and upward, his goal, a playoff berth, now that he's healthy and back to hooping again, and that'll about do it, but we appreciate you, as always, listening, and I think later in the week, keep those questions coming on Twitter. We've seen some of them.
We've got a couple off days coming up later.
At Locked On Bulls on Twitter, and we see those, so we'll get to them later in the week. We're on Facebook at Locked On Bulls too. If you like to navigate to the podcast link that way, follow Sean on Twitter at Hike and myself at Cody Westerland. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, any questions, and as always, please subscribe.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Make sure you check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Every NFL team has their own podcast. The playoffs going on, the draft coming up. Every NBA team has their own podcast. So just make sure you check out any of those that may pique your interest. And we will be back with you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.